We're going to hear from God's Word. It's Luke chapter 5 and reading the first 11 verses, and Muriel is going to read that for us. I'm just looking, I have got a page reference for it if you wish to follow. In the Pew Bibles, you can find it on page 80 of the New Testament section.
Luke chapter 5 and the first 11 verses. Jesus calls the first disciples. One day Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret while the people pushed their way up to him to listen to the word of God. He saw two boats pulled up on the beach. The fishermen had left them and were washing the nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, it belonged to Simon, and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push the boat out further to the deep water, and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon answered, "we worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, I will let down the nets." They let them down and caught such a large number of fish that the nets were about to break. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled the boats so full of fish that the boats were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He and the others with him were all amazed at the large number of fish they had caught. The same was true of Simon's partners, James and John, and the sons of Zebedee. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." They pulled the boats up on the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus. This is the living word of the living God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks. Let's pray. Father, you have given your word to us. Your word that tells us of Jesus. We pray that as we think on this word now, you will speak into our lives, you will speak into our hearts, that we will be encouraged, that we will be challenged, that we will be transformed by our living relationship with the living Lord God. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. We're coming to the final part in our series of the purpose-driven life. We've been looking at a number of things. Just to recap for you, we've been looking at worship. You know, part of the purpose of our lives is to worship God. We've been looking at fellowship, that part of our lives and our response and our purpose is to come together to enjoy each other's company, to be living with one another. We've been looking at discipleship and the fact that as we live together and as we worship, we need to become more like Christ. And we've been looking at ministry. Last week we talked about the need for us to be involved in ministry, that God has called each of us to be involved in his work. And today we come to the final part. You were made for a mission. You were made for a mission. I want to tell you a short story. A parable about a group of people who met together and called themselves fishermen. And they knew that the primary task of their role as fishermen was to fish. The sea and the lakes around were filled with fish. And everyone knew that as a fisherman, they needed to fish. They love to meet together and remind themselves of their responsibility to fish. They had great slogans about fishing. Every fisherman is a fisher, they said. It's the duty of every fisherman to go fishing. Fishermen are for fishing as fire is for burning. So into all this thing about fishing were that they decided to have a decade of fishing. And so they would meet together and they would talk about how they might go about fishing. Some people were reading all the latest stuff about fishing. Other people talked about the preparation that needed to be done for them to fish. And some people got on with doing that preparation. Some people investigated what would happen after they had been fishing. I mean, after all, once you've caught the fish, what do you do with them? Some people just kept their ears to the ground to hear all the latest methods about fishing so that they could carry out what they knew part of their purpose was about. In fact, so busy were they doing all these things that, in fact, the one thing they didn't have time to do was actually go fishing. Until one day, during this decade of fishing, one person was particularly inspired by all that was going on. And do you know what he decided to do? He decided to go out and fish. And lo and behold, what did he do? He caught two fish that day. And he came back and reported the catch to the other people at the meeting who knew that fishing was what they were about. And they were delighted. So delighted were they with what that he had done that he was invited to go to meetings all over the place to recount the story of his experience of fishing and how he had managed to achieve it. Of course, it meant that he no longer had any time to go fishing. All the while this was going on, there were some people who said, well, really, what we need to be doing is we need to be nice to the fish. Because if we're not nice to the fish, they won't want to be caught. And they need to know that we're nice people. And so they were nice. And others kept on talking about the need to fish. Because after all, they were fishermen. And they needed to follow the master's call to be fishers of people. Swap the word fisherman for Christian. Swap the word fishing for evangelizing. How close are we to the Christian perception of what we mean by mission, witnessing, evangelism? How close are we to the reality of where the church gets? You see, because I think just the very word evangelism, the very word mission, the very word witnessing, whichever of those terms we use, can do one of two things. They can bring us out in a cold sweat, or they can make us feel guilty. A cold sweat because we know that what tends to get talked about straight away is, well, doesn't that mean knocking on doors? Doesn't that mean going and standing on the streets and preaching the word? And people suddenly feel, that's not me, I can't cope with doing that. And so people feel, yeah, they come out in a cold sweat. They feel guilty, they feel fear. And the other thing, of course, is guilt, because we all know we should be doing it. We should be telling other people about Christ, and yet, I guess most of us would have to admit, we're not that good at it. We don't argue. We meet together and know that it's part of our purpose of being Christians. Yes, if you were wondering, there has been a decade of evangelism where it was proclaimed that that's what we will do. You know, let's be honest, every decade, every year, every week needs to be that time of evangelism, of sharing the good news of Christ. You know, look at some of the scriptures, you know, that just remind us of this. These are some of the last words that Jesus spoke, as recorded by Matthew. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. Or look at Luke's account. And just before Jesus is taken up to heaven, in Acts 1, verse 8, he says, but when Jesus is saying to them, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We have been made for a mission. Jesus makes it clear to us that we are to be involved in mission. You and I are made for a mission. But what I want to think about this morning is some of the lessons that come out from the passage that we've read about what it might mean for us to be fishers of people. You see, the call that Jesus places there on the disciples is quite a clear one. You know, he says to them, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Why does Jesus make this illustration of fishing? What can we learn from that illustration that may be helpful for us as people who are called to a mission but don't necessarily find it easy? And there are three lessons that I want to talk about. I want to talk about, first of all, realistic evangelism. Secondly, I'll be talking about experiential evangelism. And thirdly, living evangelism. Realistic evangelism. There was a prayer meeting going on in a church. And one of the deacons there was praying as he did, particularly for the task of witnessing. He said that words along the lines of, "O Lord, touch the unbelievers with thy finger." And he stopped. And the other people in the prayer meeting looked up to see if he was all right. And they said to him, "Are you okay? Do you feel ill?" And he said, "No. I just had that feeling when I started praying that God would touch the unbelievers with his finger, that he was saying to me, I'm his finger." You know, that realistic evangelism starts with the point of us accepting that we are called to share the good news. That's our role. That is part of our purpose of being here on earth. Rick Warren says in the book, In the Purpose-Driven Life, he says there are two things that you can do here on earth that you'll not be able to do in heaven. The first of those is sin. You know, you won't be able to sin in heaven, but you can here on earth. The second of those is evangelism. You know, you won't need to share the good news in heaven because people will know about it. And he encourages us to do one of those two things in this world. I'll let you guess which one of those two it might be. Realistic evangelism. We need to be involved in evangelism. We need to recognise our role within that. But the verse I particularly want to look at around this and around this realistic idea of realistic evangelism is this one. Verse 5, "Master," Simon says to Jesus, "we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I will let down the nets." I think there are three lessons Jesus may have been teaching Peter through this. The first of these is this: it'll be hard work. You know, to go fishing is not, you know, as Peter was doing, it was not just an easy task. There was the preparation beforehand. There was the actual fishing itself. And as we read of what's going on here, there's the cleaning of the nets afterwards as well. Fishing was not easy. It's not just something you would do at that time. It was a way of living for them. It was their job. It was hard work. Are we ready for the fact that sharing the gospel message may be hard work? That there may be things that we need to do to prepare to do that. There may be the doing of it itself, and there will be the after effects of it as well. Because we don't just share good news with people, even when they become Christ, even when they become Christians and become more like Christ. You know, we need to recognise that there's a role in helping them worship. There's the role in helping them fellowship. There's the role in helping them to be discipled. There's the role in helping them find their ministry. You know, the same purposes that there are for our lives is the purpose that there is for anyone who's not a Christian. And we need to help people actually get to that point. It's hard work. It's hard work. And sometimes in churches we are guilty of not putting the hard work in afterwards. When people become Christians, we don't look after people properly. It's kind of, hey, we've got people in now, they've become a Christian, we move on to looking for more Christians, to help more people become Christians. There's hard work in this. Second thing is there may be barren spells. I don't know if any of you have been fishing. I've been fishing in the sea once. And I was out there for about 6 hours. And let me tell you, I have to say, it was the most boring time of my life. I caught in that 6 hours two fish, one of which was poisonous, the other of which you wouldn't have been able to make a fish finger out of. That was my experience of fishing. You know, that it was a barren spell for me. Other people were catching stuff, but I wasn't. As I say, apart from something poisonous and something so small, it wasn't really worthy of being caught. Yeah, are we prepared for, in evangelism, that there may be times when it's not that we're not using the right things, it's not that we're not doing the right things, but it's just a barren spell? Yeah, that's Peter's experience as an experienced fisherman. He knew that in fishing, sometimes the fish just didn't bite. You just didn't catch them. Are we prepared for the truth that there may be times when we go about being involved in evangelism, when we're sharing the message, where actually there seems to be nothing happening? Because so often the problem is, what happens at that point is we get ready to give up. It's not worked. We won't do that again. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, the number of people who talk about the major things that are going on, these incredible projects, and when you talk to them, you realise how close they were to giving up in the early stages because nothing seemed to be happening. There was a barren spell. And thank God that they didn't give up. They kept going. Sometimes it was almost to the point of saying, with one and two of the examples I've heard, we thought we'd give it one more week, and something happened, and it encouraged them enough to keep on going. Are we prepared to keep on going through the barren periods? Are we prepared to say, yeah, this is important enough that even when we go out all night long and catch nothing, we'll keep going? That's what it means to be made for a mission, that we keep focused even when it feels like nothing is happening. The third thing is, it requires faith and obedience. You know, Peter knew that if you wanted to fish, you fished near the shore at night if you wanted to catch things. What you didn't do is you didn't push further out into the sea, and you didn't do it in the middle of the day. Any fisherman knew that. So that was going against all logic. And yet, Peter says, but if you say so, I will let down the nets. Sometimes our evangelism, maybe the methods of evangelism, defy all logic. But it's about being obedient to God, because sometimes God calls us to do things that don't seem sensible to us. You know, again, the number of people who, when I've talked about in different projects, have ended up doing something that they've just thought, there was no way we could do this, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. We did it, and suddenly we saw the fruits. We had a catch. Are we prepared to step out in faith with what God is calling us to, even if it doesn't make sense? Are we prepared to be faithful and obedient to God? Because if we're serious about being on a mission, sometimes we're called to do things that just don't make sense to all our logic. You know, we may look at things and say, hey, I know how we caught fish before, that's how we should try it again. And God says, no, do something completely different. Are we prepared to try that, to do those things? We've been made for a mission. Are we prepared to be fishers of people when that requires faith and obedience? It requires us to let down the nets when it just seems to make no sense to do it. Are we prepared to do it when it feels like hard work? Are we prepared to do it when it feels like nothing is happening? That's what realistic evangelism is about. It's about hard work, it's about barren spells, it's about faith and obedience. No wonder Jesus relates evangelism to becoming fishers of people. The second thing, experiential evangelism. Don't be put off by the title, it's quite simple really. It's just about saying we evangelise out of our experience. Nicky Gumbel tells the story of a young man who was getting to the point in his relationship with God where he felt he was wanting to make a commitment. But with that, he was really concerned about this fact that he was supposed to share that with other people. You know, he got friends who he didn't think would react particularly well, who might make fun of him. It wasn't the sort of thing that he wanted to do. So he was putting off making any commitment and just saying, I can't do this if it means I actually have to share my faith. So he went and spoke to somebody, an elderly person, and told him the problem. And the person listened to him and he said, you're making this far, far too complicated. This is just between you and God. You don't have to tell anyone if you don't want to. He'd never been told that before. He said, what, do you really mean that I don't have to tell anyone? He said, no, not if you don't want to. He said, what, no one? He said, no, it's between you and God. Go back and pray to God in the privacy of your own bedroom and see what happens. So he went and did that. And he became a Christian. He gave his life to God. And he was so excited by it, he rushed downstairs to where his parents and some of his friends were and said, you'll never believe this. I've just become a Christian and I don't have to tell anyone about it. The reality is, in what's going on, is that we're not supposed to evangelize out of a sense of duty. It's about of excitement of what God's done for us. You know, look what happens for them in this situation, for Simon Peter. You know, there they are, they've been out fishing all night, it's been hard work. They've been told to do something that just seems to make no sense whatsoever, which is to go and fish deeper out in the middle of the day. How are you going to get a catch like that? Well, he's done all of that. And what happens? They get a catch so large, that the boats begin to sink. You know, isn't that amazing? They filled both boats so full of fish that the boats were about to sink. And in some versions it says the boats were sinking. You know, amazing. A miraculous event, what God had done through Jesus. And it gives Simon Peter a real recognition of who he is before God and who Jesus is. He says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. God wants us to evangelize out of experience, not out of a sense of duty. Simon Peter recognized his place before God. He saw the miraculous things that God had done, and he was aware of his own sinfulness. And from that experience, Jesus was saying to him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about your unworthiness, your sinfulness. I love you within that. Come and become a fisher of men. God wants us to share. He wants us to share faith, but not out of duty, not out of we've got to do this, but because we're just too excited and overwhelmed by what he's done for us. You know, that's why we need to be involved in worship and fellowship and discipleship and ministry, because that's when we actually see and experience these things. And out of that experience, we can get involved in sharing the good news. That's our task. The third thing, living evangelism. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And then in verse 11 it says, they pulled the boats up on the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus. Living evangelism. The word evangelism actually means good news. Sometimes people describe themselves as evangelical Christians. There's part of me that just struggles with that, because I just think every Christian's got to be an evangelical, because evangelical means good news. So I'm a person of the good news. That's the definition of a Christian, is we're evangelical. We've got good news to share. When we've got that good news, when we have good news, we don't keep it to ourselves. We share it. It's living evangelism. There's the story of a great actor called MacReady. He was asked a question by a vicar at one point. And the vicar asked him this question. He said, how come you are representing fiction when you're acting and you're playing to packed out audiences night by night who love exactly what you're doing and sharing? And how come here's me preaching the truth, which is vital for life, and nobody seems to care one little bit? MacReady said to him, well, you know what the problem is? He says, I'm presenting fiction as truth. You're presenting truth as if it were fiction. You know, it was just this enthusiasm, this living of life, which came about through his relationship with God that was going to make the difference for Simon Peter. That's what we need to be, people who are living evangelists. Living because we're just so overwhelmed by it. And I want to read, this is an article that was in the Times some time ago by Matthew Paris. He wrote it in the Sunday Times. Matthew Paris is not a Christian, but this is what he wrote in an article, and it was particularly over some of the arguments that were going on in the church at the time. And he said this, "The New Testament offers a picture of God which does not sound at all vague. He has sent his Son to earth. He has distinct plans for each of us personally and can communicate directly with us. We are capable of forming a direct relationship individually with him and are commanded to try. We are told that this can be done only through his Son, and we are offered the prospect of eternal life, an afterlife in happy, blissful, or glorious circumstances if we live in this manner. Friends, if I believed that, or even a tenth of that, how could I care which version of the prayer book is used? I would drop my job, sell my house, throw away all my possessions, leave my acquaintances and set out into the world burning with desire to know more and, when I had found more, to act upon it and tell others. Far from being puzzled that the Mormons and Adventists should knock on the door, I am unable to understand, how anyone who believed that which is written in the Bible could choose to spend their waking hours in any other endeavour." You know, that's from a non-Christian who says, look, as I see it, if those claims are true, even if a tenth of it is true, I would spend my time doing nothing else than seeking to discover more and share that good news with other people. Where are we in that situation? You know, how impassioned do you feel to share the good news? Do you see it as a central purpose in your life to be sharing the gospel with others? And if you do, are you doing anything about it? Am I doing anything about it? I guess that's asking a question like this, which I just want to leave us with, is very telling. Are you going to share the gospel with anyone this week? Are you going to share it? You know, do you know anyone who might need to hear it? You know, sometimes the gospel is through sharing the actual truth of what happened. Sometimes it's sharing the gospel just through the way that we live. We need both. It's not an either or. We need to do both. The trick is, of course, knowing which is right in certain circumstances, because sometimes people aren't quite ready to hear the Bible truth, but they actually need to just see us living it out. But in what way are you going to share the gospel message this week? In what way are you going to be a representative of Christ? And I say, in what way are you? I'm implying those same questions to me. How am I going to do it? What am I going to do to show the faith that I have in Christ? And is that coming out of a sense of duty or an experience of wonder at what God has done for me, what God has done for you? I really believe God wants it to be an experience for us, which comes from our love for God, of what acknowledging what he's done for us, that is just so deep within us, such a deep joy within us, that we cannot help but share the good news that we have. May God help us to be that people in this week and the weeks to come. Amen. Let's just spend a moment of quiet, allowing God to speak into our lives. Maybe making a commitment to God now about what we can do this week for him to share the glorious good news with someone this week. Father, you have made us for a mission. You use us as your servants. Thank you for that great privilege that you invite us to be part of your kingdom and to share in the extending of your kingdom. Help us, we pray, to understand more about this purpose and to recognise our responsibility day by day to share the good news that we have with others. Give us strength, give us wisdom, we pray, for we cannot do it on our own. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn, which takes up this theme, Tell All the World of Jesus. So let's stand and sing together and remind ourselves and commit ourselves to being the people who share the good news that we have. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and those that you love this day and forever. Amen.